Awesome. It's been a great morning. I'm excited to have the privilege of sharing God's word with you this morning. Everybody doing good? All right. Well, we've been in a series on the Sermon on the Mount called Legalists, Rebels, and Worshipers. And this morning, we're going to be looking, starting off in chapter 6, and we're looking at Jesus talking about three different ways that people practice faith, and this unique danger there is of us doing those what are supposed to be acts of faith directed toward God in such a way that we're actually seeking to draw attention to ourselves. And it has to do with giving to the poor, praying, and fasting. And Jesus doesn't command us to do those things. He just assumes in the way that he talks about them, that we're going to be doing them. And he warns us, though, against just doing those things for the sake of drawing attention to ourselves, trying to be seen. Of course, there are appropriate circumstances where you actually need to call attention to yourself. I was running with our dog, Toby, a few weeks ago at night. I like to run at night. I actually think it's safer. At least it's safer from cars, because you can see lights, and unless, of course, somebody just has it in for me and they're running no lights, and then it's just time for the Lord to call me home, I guess. But otherwise, I think it's just safer. And I have gear, though. I have a reflective vest, and I have this really attractive headlamp. I mean, it's something, and when I dress up like that, I mean, I'm just thinking, Kat is thinking, man, I am such a lucky woman to have married this man. And so, but anyway, Toby is not a very good running partner. He is just all over the place. And so we had been, I don't know how long we'd been going, a few nights ago. We're getting close to getting back home, and he's just, the only thing Toby obeys is his nose. And so he's in front of me, he's behind me, he's here and he's there. And so he's behind me once, and of course I'm rolling along, and he stops dead in his tracks. His body is aimed in such a way that instead of it grabbing him and encouraging him along, his collar comes right off of him. So now he's free. Just before this happened, I happened to notice that there's a man walking toward us with two other dogs. And so I'm thinking, great. And of course, Toby runs right after them. And I'm immediately apologizing. My dog just got off. And of course, Toby's not listening to anything. And so while I'm trying to get him, and he won't come, I see a car coming toward us. And so then I plant all 215 pounds of myself in my vest, in my headlamp, and I'm waving my arms in the middle of the road like this, like a referee calling a timeout. And I can't imagine what that looked like to the person driving, but as frustrated as I was with the dog, you know, him getting hit wouldn't have made for a fun night for any of us. And so, you know, there are situations where calling attention to yourself is a good thing. There's other times calling attention to yourself may be just somewhat amusing. Some of you who follow football may remember that Antonio Brown, the star wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers, after they beat Kansas City in the playoff game a few weeks ago, filmed himself on a Facebook Live video from the dressing room and then caught comments that Coach Mike Tomlin was giving that were not really for public airing, and got himself in some trouble. And it was amusing to a lot of people, not very amusing to his coach and to the league. But what Jesus is talking about in this text is, you know, it's not a healthy situation, not even a humorous situation, actually a dangerous situation, spiritually dangerous, when we goof up something that's meant to be directed toward God, and instead we act in such a way and we behave in such a way that we demonstrate that what we're really concerned about is drawing attention to ourselves and causing people to be impressed with us, or hoping that they're going to be impressed with us. Jesus gives three illustrations of this idea, and in each one of them, they kind of have four elements. He warns against, don't do this for the sake of being seen of people, and then he says, in one way or another, if you do this, the only reward that you're going to get from this behavior is, okay, they saw you. And that's it. God's not impressed. And then there are instructions on how to do it authentically for the sake of God. And then he promises that God will reward what he sees that you do in secret. And so we're kind of answering from Jesus' words here this question: how is it then that we do go about pleasing God? How do we please God? And I want to show you from this text that it's about living a God-centered life, which you could boil down to the word trust. It's about trusting God. So I'm in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. And first of all, I want you to see that we're called to give out of obedience, even before compassion. We're to give to help other people out of obedience, even before we would do that out of compassion. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you." So if Jesus says, beware, and that's something you kind of ought to pay attention to. And we're accustomed to maybe seeing beware of dog signs. I saw one this week that said, never mind the dog, beware of the owner. That's a different message. But you know, if Jesus says beware, we ought to pay attention to that and see exactly what he means. Now, on the one hand, you and I, there's some things that we do that we should do that you can't help being seen. The problem, the issue is the motive. In fact, just in the previous chapter, Jesus had said something on the one hand that almost seems like a direct contradiction, because in chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So it almost looks like those two passages are contradictory. But the deal is, in chapter 5, Jesus is dealing with the sin of cowardice, where we might fear to share the gospel in some way, or we might fear to reach out to care for someone's needs, or we might fear to get involved in some sort of relational conflict for fear of getting caught up in the wrong way. And so in chapter 5, Jesus is addressing the issue of sin and how that would prompt us. But here in chapter 6, he's addressing the issue of vanity or pride in a person trying to draw attention to themselves. In chapter 5, the goal, Jesus said, is so that people would see your good works and worship God. In chapter 6, Jesus is addressing the goal of people trying to draw attention to themselves. It's interesting that in that time, the three ideas, Jesus' illustrations, come together in an interesting way. There were public fasts at times that would be called, and they were called by the sounding of trumpets. And so often these public fasts would be called four seasons of drought and concerned about that. And so as a part of that, there might be public prayers for rain right out in the street. And in fact, then people also believed that if they were fasting, if they were able to demonstrate to God that they were more serious about that, they believed that that made their prayers more effective. And so that whole scenario created all sorts of circumstances where people could perform to draw attention to themselves. A lot of you have heard before that the word hypocrite simply referred to a person who would play a role who they were acting, and they saw the rest of the world as their stage that they were performing before. And so Jesus says, if you give for the sake of being seen by men, that is all the reward that you're ever going to get. It's an economic term that speaks to the bill is completely paid. There is nothing more to come. That's all the reward that a person is ever going to get. And so, you know, you might not be able to sense, you think, I can't imagine myself doing this, to give in such a way that I would want people to notice that. But the deal is that there are things that you and I are value. So we don't, maybe we don't necessarily, there are a lot of opportunities where people would even see us doing this. But there are things that we value and that we think that people value that we are tempted to do or to speak of in such a way that calls attention to ourselves. And when we do that, God's not impressed with that. Now, on the one hand, you and I, we cannot completely live as if we are totally not concerned about rewards. I mean, it really is about who we're expecting rewards from. I mean, no, anything that we do in some respect or another is to seek a positive outcome, even if you're being forced to do something. If it's a homework assignment that you think's crazy, or if it's a work assignment that just seems demeaning, or maybe a household chore that your parents are demanding that you do. I mean, even when we carry out activities like that, we're doing them because we think the opposite of that is going to turn out badly for us. There's no way that we can act in such a way that we're not somehow concerned about reward. The issue is simply, and the challenge that Jesus is laying out before us is instead of thinking about how what we do is going to play in front of other people, is that we live Godward. We live to please God by trusting Him. So, you know, I think because of this, there's an interesting parallel to this in Hebrews 11, verse 6. When you think about this issue of reward, some of you are familiar with this verse, but in Hebrews 11, 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. So valuing that God is always watching, not to catch me doing something wrong, but to seek an opportunity to bless His children and His followers. Valuing that involves trusting God, believing that He is real and that He exists. To the contrary, then, when you and I act in such a way that we're behaving in such a way that we're trying inappropriately to get people to notice us and what we're doing, we are in that moment, in a sense, not believing that God exists. We are not believing in that moment that He rewards those who seek Him. We are living in that moment as practical atheists. We want more than anything else just to be admired by people. And so even when Jesus says, so when you do give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And the sense of that is, you know, not only don't let, you know, don't try to do things for the sake of other people, but don't dwell on your own generosity in such a way that you're kind of patting yourself on the back, you're thinking about that and dwelling on that and encouraging yourself so that you'll feel better about yourself. It's even as if we are to give out of the grace of God that He has poured into us without much awareness of what we do. Of course, this isn't completely possible, especially if we're talking about financial giving to your church body or to other charities and you're tracking. I mean, you can't not know completely, but the sense seems to be that Jesus would say, don't dwell on that, don't focus on that. And so this may seem like an odd way to get you to think about this, but I find that the more time I've spent with this text this week, the more I recognize that this is a unique temptation for me, and I think perhaps a unique temptation to anyone who is making a serious effort to follow Jesus. But what I mean in particular, as I've studied this, it makes me think about ways in which that I subtly let people know that I'm doing things that I know that they expect me to do. So, you know, I wrestle with, maybe other pastors don't, maybe other spiritual leaders don't, but I wrestle with expectations that I'm, you know, there are certain things that people expect me to do, and I know they're looking for that from me, whether it's visiting shut-ins or whether it's visiting in the hospitals or various kinds of activities that I know that people are anticipating me doing. And so I catch myself working into conversations little hints that I've been doing things that people expect me to do. And I'm just, and I don't know if this speaks to you in anything, in any particular way or not, but I just want you to know that I feel convicted by God to just, to stop doing that and allow God to take care of my reputation, that I live for an audience of one, that I'm going to live paying attention to what God thinks about me. And that doesn't mean that I think, you know, there'll be times when I miss, when I don't do things that it ought to have been done, and I will confess my sin to God and apologize to people if I've let someone down in a way that I shouldn't have. But by God's grace, I think we should stop in any way trying to telegraph that we're doing what people are expecting us to do. Let's let God take care of that. And, you know, everything Jesus did, he did out of right motives. And if we just, you know, obviously there are a lot of people in the world who value giving to other people, who value taking care of the needs of other people. But I will tell you this, if we focus first on the needs of the world, those needs are going to crush us. And think about the way that Jesus responded when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was no discussion in that moment of our need for Jesus to die for us. The wrestling match between God and Jesus that moment, that didn't seem to come into play at all. It was totally and completely about what God had called him to do and whether Jesus was, he was just wrestling with, I understand, God, what you've asked me to do out of obedience to you, and I'm willing to do that, but I'm wrestling and I'm struggling with that. Because if we rush out into the world, whether it's just the needs in this church or the needs in the community around us or the needs of the world around us, those needs are going to crush us. And some people will think we're doing what we should do, and others will think we will not. The opinion that matters is God's. So we do this then by finding ways to help people that other people don't know anything about. And we don't give subtle hints that we're out there doing the right thing. We just let God handle that. But as I think about this, and we won't spend quite this much time on each one, but there's a way in which this first thing of giving to the poor relates to, Jesus is laying out, here's the sort of behavior that is expected of good God-honoring people that are seeking to follow God. And so this first one is about how we reach out to other people. How we reach out to the needs of others and the unique ways in which we might be tempted to draw attention to the way we do that. The second one is about how we relate to God, and he's going to talk about prayer. But the third one is about how we control ourselves. There's almost any sort of spiritual or religious system has some sort of instruction about self-control. And so there's this passage in ways that I'm just really, honestly, I just noticed this a few minutes ago, and I've been working on this passage all week, that there's the outward part, the way we care for people, there's the vertical part, and there's the way we exert self-control. So, but you may not have necessarily thought about the sort of things that you look to notice whether someone's really honestly following God or not, as to whether or not they're giving, because you don't necessarily know about that, but we might notice a little more about how they pray. So Jesus says that we're to pray out of love for God. Look at verses 5 and 6. It says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, if you have your Bible open and looking, I'm going to come back in 2 weeks and focus exclusively on prayer and where Jesus goes on to speak in the Sermon on the Mount about that. But these three statements are in parallel about how we give to others, how we pray, and how we fast. And then we're going to come back in 2 weeks. Milton will be here next Sunday. And then I'll come back in 2 weeks and continue that. So those commands are parallel. Again, Jesus doesn't command us to do this. He speaks as if he assumes we're going to pray, just like he assumes we're going to give to the poor. And interestingly, he assumes we're going to fast. Now the problem is, you know, when it starts out here, it says they love to pray. That's a good thing, right? I mean, for people to love to pray, obviously that's a good thing. There's no problem with them standing to pray. There's no problem with them praying in public. Jesus is not teaching that we should never have any public prayers in this space or in any other space. That's not the problem. The problem is the motive that they were doing these things, that they may be seen by others. And Jesus says, if you live for that, if you live for applause or to be noticed, then the bill's already paid. There's nothing more coming. And so he gives instructions on how we are to pray. So go to your room and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. But that's not meant to be legalistic either, as if the only place that you could pray is something that we would call a closet, some dark place where there's no chance that anyone would see what you were doing. The point is that there's going to, for you and I to be able to pray authentically and to be able to live authentically, there's going to have to be lots of experience of praying to God privately so that when we do pray publicly, we're not so self-conscious about the way we sound. There were 8 of us, mostly folks from the mentoring group, yesterday at a training for the Barcelona project. I, as some of you know, I went to Barcelona and we're hoping there'd be future trips. And so there were several of us there, and I can't remember why we got into this subject, but we were talking about this, and we were in a situation, there 8 of us were sitting around a table and we were asked to pray together. And as it turned out, I was the only one that prayed. And so I was just musing about this a little bit, and I'd already thought about this because it's hard when you're praying publicly not to be self-conscious about it. I wonder what in the world I sound like. There's no way that I can pray like whoever, you kind of fill in the blanks. But I think there's also a danger that we can kind of run afoul of what Jesus is talking about here, if that we always don't pray in public just because we're so self-conscious about the way that we sound. Again, that's still focused on me. Do you understand that? That's still a focus on me. If I won't ever pray in public, it's because, you know, we're so caught up in issues of we don't want to be embarrassed. Now, and so the Jesus' point is that whether we pray out loud or whether we choose before God to not pray out loud, it's not about because who else is paying attention other than it's God himself that's paying attention. And you know, hypocrisy is often quite detectable. In fact, many of us have hypersensitive awareness of hypocrisy. And so if I'm acting hypocritically in some manner, I may not be able to see it. But there's a good chance that you probably can. And hypocrisy turns people off. It just irritates people that if there's some way in which that we are performing, that we're pretending in some way. And so we struggle. You know, Jesus says that we're to pray out of love for God, whether people are listening or not. But it's hard, you know, even if we're not praying, for us to wrestle with, to want to be known for who we really are. We worry about how we're going to be accepted. We wonder about how we're going to appear to other people. We don't want to be embarrassed. But the us getting this right, or to be always moving toward this, actually has an evangelistic impact. Because again, people can sense. And so to the extent that folks who would come in among us can sense from us, they might not know how to say it, but they can sense from us that these people are real. There's no pretense. There's no, you know, some of them are dressed nice, some of them are dressed less nice. There doesn't appear to be any external signals about that. You know, you don't have to be in a suit and tie to be in, to be accepted. And people just seem to, you know, to not have any airs about them. They're just who they are. Our ability to hear Jesus here and to honestly be who we are before Him makes a difference on whether our faith in God is attractive to people apart from God. Because nobody is interested in our religious performance. They don't care at all. And in fact, they're repulsed by it. And so our getting this is really, really important. And again, Jesus just obviously was not influenced by what anyone else thought of him. He was able to act with courage or compassion as the situation called for it, and just simply was not distracted by anything else. He lived a God-centered, Godward life. In regards to prayer is just, there's the only way to make progress on this is for there to be more private prayer, because when it's just you and God, there's clearly no sense in pretending. So we might focus on giving, and there's danger in that, but you may not have been thinking about that necessarily as a marker, as people might look for, as to whether or not you're an authentic follower of Jesus or not. We might notice praying, but probably none of us came in here this morning thinking, you know, the way you know whether someone is really following God is whether they fast on some sort of regular basis or not. Interesting, and yet it's almost as if we just sort of ignore that this passage is here. And I speak to this as, I don't know if this is a word, but I am a terrible faster. I struggle with that. But I think it goes beyond that. And so the last thing I want you to think about is that we're to exercise self-discipline invisibly. Again, every religion has some sort of instruction about keeping your appetites under control. Christianity is no different. Jesus says, when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The Pharisees fast twice a week, I think Mondays, Thursdays. And we were talking about this in staff. Jessica was telling us that that sometimes Muslim men will, as the sort of telegraphing of this sort of thing, because they pray on their face, will mark up their foreheads in such a way to, you know, it's a way of disfiguring their faces that people would see how sincere, how devout they are. There's a couple of interesting translations of this text. One says, they make their faces unattractive. I thought that was funny. So that their fasting is obvious to people. Another translation says, they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will admire them for their fasting. And again, you know, I'm just guessing, we're thinking in this room right at this moment, you're thinking, I can't imagine doing this. I mean, that's just, you know, that's fasting, whether or not people fast, it's just not, it's not a marker that we look for as to whether somebody's, you know, that's really a strong follower of God, because that's just not something we talk about much or look for. But there are things that we value. And there are aspects of self-control that do get people's attention. And so, hear me out here. What is it about I've done this, and I'm guessing a lot of you have done this. What is it about when there's a conversation about TV? And I'm tempted to say, and you're tempted to say, oh, I don't watch too much TV. What's that about? Why do you need to say that? Why do I need to say that? Here's what I think it is. I think it's because there's some awareness among us. You know, there's a lot of stuff on TV that's not going to be any good for you. And a person that watches a bunch of TV is, that would be, we would put that, if we were categorizing things, that's probably not a good sign. And so we're pretty, if the subject comes up, you know, or it could be even in the context of, you know, have you seen this whatever, this new show or this movie or what? I don't watch a lot of that kind of stuff. Am I just taking a walk here? And anybody following me? I don't know. You know, the you know what that is, a leader who's too far out in front of people and nobody's following him, he's just taking a walk. We're to exercise self-discipline invisibly. And so by all means, and I've done some reading about this, it would be appropriate for you and I to fast for the purpose of prayer, maybe in grief over our own sin, or perhaps we might choose to skip a meal once a week just out of solidarity with those who are hungry. Maybe we would skip a meal per week and save that money and purchase McDonald's gift certificates with it to give to poor people. There's some way that we do this, but not to impress, but just as an act of obedience and trust in God and practice self-control. You know, another thing that's really, that we do value in this culture, and or at least we think we do, and is somebody with a lot of responsibility and someone that's really busy. And so I think that there are ways that we talk about these things. It's like, oh man, I'm slammed this week. And I'd really like to get together and do that, but I'm just so busy. I'm so tired because I'm so important. I've got so much responsibility. Eugene Peterson talks about in the book The Contemplative Pastor. He said that pastors are really busy for two reasons. He said, one, they're lazy. And two, they're vain. And he said, they're lazy because they're not disciplined enough to set their own priorities and get that on their calendar so that what really matters, they've got time marked off to do. And so they're just awash in the expectations of the rest of the world. But secondly, and again, I don't think pastors are the only ones who have wrestled with this, it's a badge of honor to say, man, I'm really slammed. I got so much to do. I'm really important. And we telegraph that. You know, and thinking about this, I was trying to think through in ways that did Jesus ever talk about how difficult things were for him? And he did once say to a would-be follower, he said, you know, foxes have dens and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And then just before he prayed in the garden, he said to his disciples, you know, my soul is sorrowful to the point of death. Would you watch with me? And then on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But as busy as Jesus was and as self-controlled as Jesus was, I just don't ever hear him talking about how much responsibility he had and how tired he was. He apparently must have been really tired. If he could sleep through a storm, water splashing over, he must have been exhausted. He didn't ever telegraph that sort of thing. Let's exercise our self-control, our obedience to God, and whatever God's called us to do without telegraphing that to other people, without talking about how early we get up or how much we do this or how much we do that. Unless, you know, someone asks, and there's some real reason to talk about it. Because, you know, when the whole conversation starts about, you know, I'm really busy, yeah, I'm really busy too, it just becomes a contest of who's busier, who's got more responsibility, and just irritate each other. So give, pray, fast, you know, work hard, visit, abstain from what you feel like God's calling you to abstain from. But you know, we don't ever live free of, there's always someone watching. It's just a matter of what audience we're paying attention to, because God is always watching. And he sees and he knows, not to catch his followers doing something wrong, but as a loving father, he's looking for ways to bless us. And we live out of gratitude because we have a God who has drawn us to himself through the sacrifice of Jesus so that we could be accepted, not on the basis of our hard work or our good works or our not doing this or that, but out of his love. A hypocrite performs to be seen by men, performs for the audience of many. A genuine believer is aware of being watched, but the audience that they're most aware of, that we're most aware of, is God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would be most aware of you, and that you would help us to see that our pleasing you is not about our running 100 miles an hour, but is about trusting you and allowing you to show us how to live out of that. And Father, I pray for those of us in the room this morning who live mostly as practical atheists, where there's rarely a thought that I'm living a Godward life. And Lord, I just sense that in this room there are those who, they really do know you, but just so caught up in other things and distractions that they don't think about that. But there are others in the room, Lord, who, though their name might be on this church roll or some other one, or maybe never having joined a church, that just never really been that aware of you or thought that you were that alert to them. Father, I pray for each one of us this morning, saved and lost, regardless of whatever, where we stand in our relationship with you, that we would be deeply aware of who you are and the reality that you sent your Son to this earth, who suffered for us out of obedience to you, and that we then, when we can run to you in repentance and confession of sin, trusting in your work on the cross, can walk away from the incessant need to please everyone else and can simply live a life of trust in you. God, would you do that in us? And would you draw us to yourself that we may see your goodness to us in this? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to close with a hymn of invitation. Maybe you'd like to just come to the altar and pray as we sing. Maybe you've never begun a relationship with Jesus and you're ready to start a conversation about that. Love to be able to do that. Maybe you know God's leading you to join this church. So as we begin to sing, I just encourage you, if you have a public commitment to make to Christ this morning, you join me here in the front. Let's stand and sing together.